Hello, welcome to this AHDB podcast. If I told you 84% of farmers under the age of 40 are battling with poor mental health, what would you say? You'd be shocked, right? Your health is your wealth, so the saying goes, and the coronavirus pandemic has certainly tested many individuals and families due to the restrictions and changes in everyday life. We perhaps take for granted the socialising and networking we all do, but this year we've seen a lot of media commentary about people struggling because of not being able to mix with family and friends. This has swept people's general well-being and mental health into the spotlight like never before. There are some sections of society, however, where poor mental health is not new, but the extent of the problem faced by some is only fully emerging as studies and attention is being given. I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, I explore mental health with those who have some first-hand experiences within the farming community and a charity anxious to raise awareness of how, triggered by rural isolation, loneliness and financial uncertainty, depression and anxiety are a real threat. It's worth noting, World Mental Health Day is Saturday, the 10th of October, which gives some appreciation of the scale of the problem. Sadly, according to the Farm Safety Foundation, that statistic of 84% of farmers under the age of 40 are battling with poor mental health, a statistic which has risen considerably over the past few years. Vicky Beers from the Farming Community Network charity joins me now. Vicky, thanks for sparing the time. Give me some context, if you would, and as far as you're concerned, share some of your experiences around those that are most affected.
Thank you, John. So as you said, I work for FCN. I work in a national role and I work on partnerships with other organisations across the sector, government bodies, other charities and corporate organisations. And really the work that I do is very much about supporting farmers, increasing the level of support that we provide and connecting with those farmers. FCN have been supporting farmers for 25 years and we support farmers throughout England and Wales through 35 groups of local volunteers. As well as working for the FCN, I'm also a farmer's wife and I have three sons, two of which farm. So at work and away from work, I'm very much part of the farming community and I really do understand these issues and I understand the concerns and the stresses that the farming community are dealing with at the moment. FCN is a national organisation. We run across England and Wales. We have been supporting farmers for 25 years. We have a helpline that's open every single day of the week from 7 till 11. And we have 400 volunteers providing support locally to farmers and farming families. Many of the calls that we see coming into our helpline involve mental health. In the period between April and June, when we were all getting used to the new COVID restrictions, 70% of the calls stated mental health concerns, either anxiety or stress. We know as an industry that we are losing one farmer a week to suicide. And as a charity and as an industry, we're all concerned about those statistics and just about the general mental health and physical health issues amongst farmers.
Yes, and a little bit later on in the podcast, we'll be speaking to somebody who lost her husband to suicide in 2016. I think our listeners would be shocked by the fact that you are saying that we're losing one farmer a week. And there seems to have been very little attention so far paid to providing support to this, you know, very clearly vulnerable group. What's the sort of, you know, the cost, apart from the human cost, what's the cost to the industry of this problem?
You're right. There's a huge impact and it goes far beyond the personal impact and the impact to the family, which is huge, not to mention the wider community. Farming's a really close family and these situations can have a really long-term impact on people within that farming community. Generally and economically, 70 million days are taken off every year because of mental health, and it's costing UK employers £26 billion. it's not just constrained to the farming industry. It's a problem that we're all dealing with, and it affects in one form or another, it affects everybody in the community.
I just want to just ask you about one other thing in this part of the podcast, and that is that this 84% of farmers under the age of 40, is this an emerging issue then, that it's affecting younger people? And I suppose I should be clear about, you know, whether we're talking about men or women or both, or is this an increasing problem, or are we just becoming more aware?
I think we are becoming better at talking about it. I think the industry have done a fantastic job over the last 5 years of raising awareness, trying to break down some of that stigma. We are finding people who are much more prepared to actually phone our helpline, admit that they're having a problem with their mental well-being. So in some ways, I see that as a positive. We're also seeing an increase in the number of people who are reaching out for support. So whilst people are reaching out, I think that's a really good thing. I think as an organisation, we're concerned about mental health across all age groups. It's not just confined to the younger demographic by any means. Our message is always that you need to reach out for support, and there's lots of support out there available.
I'd now like to introduce Lee Thompson. Lee is a pig producer, and it's right to say that as a result of your own mental health struggles, Lee, you've taken some action to help others.
I suppose you could say that, yeah. I suppose when lockdown started, I knew that a few people would be struggling. I thought I'd try and help them myself along the way.
So how have you done that? You've launched a podcast, I understand.
Yeah, so to put it briefly, I was in hospital one night. I got myself a foot infection, and I just put something out on one of my social medias asking, would people be interested to hear a podcast from me? A few people said yes, and I thought, oh, you know what? I haven't really got anything to lose here. Sat there that night in the hospital, learning how to edit a podcast, how to make a podcast, what I'd need to do. And it's just gone from there, really. I've spoken to a lot of very interesting people along the way who have all been willing to come on and share their story with me, as well as listen to my own story as well, I suppose.
So you're an old pro of this podcast malarkey. I can tell that. So let's give it a plug. So it's Flat White Chats, and it's got nothing to do with coffees, or has it?
Everything to do with coffee. The aim behind it was you go out for a friend with coffee, and that's often where a conversation starts. So the idea behind it was starting that conversation just over a coffee and trying to make the whole podcast just sound like friends having a chat.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself then, Lee, as a pig producer. Farming in the family?
Farming is in the family, as in I come from both sets of grandparents are from farming backgrounds. My granddad's still now at the ripe old age of 88 years old, runs a farm out in the Fens. Grandpa be a salesman within the farming industry of fertilizer and grass seed and stuff, and my dad was a dairy farmer. So essentially, yes, it should have been written in the stars to be in the farming industry, but I was never really that interested in it growing up. Never really had that much interest. Like, I used to come down to the farm and see granddad and have fun, but it wasn't like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I then got to that age where you have to decide what you're going to do. I went to college for a couple of years and studied sports science, and then sort of got to the end of it and was like, oh, you know what? Where I used to live, there was a lot of pigs around. I knew how to drive a tractor. I was like, well, I need a job. Went and did a couple of weeks work experience somewhere, loved it. Then I've now been in the industry, 8-9 years, and I haven't looked back.
And you've got a management role, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm a fieldsman for a pig production company.
So look, if you don't mind me asking, what are the challenges that you faced that culminated in the health issues that you've had to contend with?
So my own personal health issues sort of didn't come around from the industry itself. Initially, my first bout with mental health might have been as an 18-year-old. I was working for someone and I wasn't that comfortable working there. It was a very strange time. And I just initially thought that I was tired, because being an 18-year-old going from being at college for a handful of hours a week to then working a full-time job, suddenly thought it was taking its toll, and I thought I was just tired and couldn't quite get out of that rut. I then went to Australia and I thought that got me out of the rut. But looking back at it now, that was my initial mental health. And then 3 years ago, a friend of mine died on the rugby pitch, saw it happen in front of me. And from that was then where I got my main bout of mental health, went into a bit of a depressive state, suffered with PTSD. And I had a really poor relationship with food. Like, food was my outlet. So my weight ballooned, I ballooned in size and things like that. And then since then, I then had counselling, speaking to people, and initially taking that first step was absolutely petrifying for me. But I'm so glad I did, because it's made the world of difference to my life now as I know it.
What triggered you to take the step?
It was a combination of two things, really. There was a night in a bar and a friend of mine said to me, "Oh, Lee, that shirt looks a bit tighter tonight." And I thought, I laughed it off at the time. And I was like, well, it can't be. I still train. I'm still playing rugby. But I knew that I was eating a lot. So I laughed it off at the time. And I thought, I've got to change something there. And then one evening sat at home, I think my mum said something to me and I said, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, something isn't right." But I didn't want to weigh my mum down with the issue. So then looked into finding counselling and yeah, it went from there.
So once you'd made that decision to reach out, how easy was it?
Very easy. So initially, the counsellor that I reached out to, I did a lot of research online to find one and find someone that I thought that would suit me. I wanted someone that was local, but not too close that I might bump into them walking down my local high street on a Saturday afternoon kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I then had a brief phone conversation with them, just a general chat, maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then I think a week later, I was in for my first hour-long counselling session. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of maybe 2 to 3 months, I think it went once every week for a month and then every other week. And then it just sort of went, well, I think I've got everything I want from this now. Let's leave it at that. And if you ever need any more, just email me and come back to it. Like, the door's always been left open to return if I was to ever need it. But I think that I got given the correct tools to put in the toolbox, so to speak, to manage myself from there on.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Now, the sort of the novel twist in all of this then might be that you've then tried to use your own experiences to help other people, hence the podcast. What are your aspirations for the podcast for the future?
Just to keep enjoying it, really. And as silly as it sounds, all the time I get people messaging me or sending me like posts on social media saying, "Oh, I really enjoyed hearing this." That just means the world to me. I'd just like people to keep listening and keep learning from me. Yeah, just every time I speak to someone or someone mentions something to me about it, it really does make me proud of what I've achieved in such a small space of time with it.
And are you surprised by, you know, how easy or how comfortable people are about speaking around these difficult issues?
It has surprised me a lot, actually, that people, especially when I've been speaking to people that don't necessarily know me straight away. So then I've been asking them to come on, like professional rugby players or sports people, athletes, and they come on and they just start talking about it also openly and honestly with me. And I always say thank you to them. And they're like, "Well, no, thank you for creating a platform where I can come and tell my story and stuff." And I'm like, "Well, I don't really feel like I've done a lot, but you've come on, you've told your story." Yeah, that's all I could ever ask from people, really.
Lee, that's great. And of course, thank you very much for sharing your story and for talking to us. I'm now joined by Emma Picton-Jones, who's the founder of the DPJ Foundation, a charity she set up to support farmers with their mental health after her husband, Dan, sadly took his life in 2016. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Emma, and for agreeing to share your experiences. Just for the listeners' benefit, I mean, obviously this continues to be very difficult and a struggle for your family, I'm sure. But could you just give us a little bit of an insight into perhaps the struggles that your husband was facing?
Yes, John. Firstly, thank you very much for having me. And it's a real pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Yeah, he struggled much like many people did, really. I think the struggles he had, he felt like he was very alone in those struggles, but it was very much something that we all go through. We all worry about money, whether we're earning too much of it or not enough. You know, it's always an issue. And he worried about day-to-day things that were just kind of any small thing that would happen would almost stress him out to the point where he couldn't really cope with it. And I think he thought he was very alone like this. He thought that he was somebody who was the only person who had these worries, and he was the only person who kind of worried to the extent that he did. But actually, you know, he's much like a lot of people. It's quite common and you know, not unusual to find people within the farming sector in particular who worry a lot about different things because of the pressure that comes with farming. It's something we all do. And unfortunately, when it came to my husband, he had these worries and really never did anything about it. He kind of just thought that he would just carry on and then eventually they would go away. But actually, they didn't go away. They just kept building up and building up.
Yeah, and I would imagine for the people that are listening to this, and you know, they may well themselves be sort of struggling and suffering from the stress and the loneliness that you've spoken about. Are there any other warning signs, perhaps, that you know, loved ones can be looking out for?
Yeah, it's looking out for those things that are just different. I think that's the only way to put it. I think, you know, with Dan, for me, a lot of the warning signs were the first thing that you've noticed was really his appearance. So whereas he'd be almost kind of his normal self, he'd kind of keep himself with a bit of stubble and, you know, tidy hair. First thing you noticed was the beard would go kind of wild, the hair would go a bit crazy, he wouldn't put clean and tidy clothes on. It was almost like he was really reflecting on his appearance, how he felt on the inside. And so that was really the first thing that I caught on to. But it's looking for those changes. It's somebody who's usually quite optimistic and quite happy-go-lucky, maybe is all of a sudden completely the opposite. And you know, when you're living with somebody or you see someone frequently, it's much easier to spot those changes in somebody, and it looks different with every person. It's not a kind of, you know, one thing fits all. And depression and anxiety come with so many different symptoms and signs. It's really difficult to pinpoint them, but all I can say is just look for those changes. And if you notice that the person that you care about or someone in your life is very different to how they usually are, that can be a really good indication that something quite might not be quite right with them mentally.
Now, brilliantly, you, out of this very, very tragic situation, you set up the DPJ Foundation. Just tell us a little bit about that.
So the DPJ Foundation came about because soon after Dan passed away, I realised that there was very little by way of support for farmers. I think there's lots of amazing national organisations for people with mental health issues, but actually, you know, farmers don't tend to fit in the same box as everyone else. You know, we're not going to go and drop into a mine in a local town centre or city centre, because actually that's not something that we would necessarily go and do. And, you know, we don't have time to leave the farm, let alone go somewhere like that. And admitting you've got issues in quite often where we live in, you know, very rural locations, but actually where everybody knows everybody, admitting you've got those issues can be quite difficult. And I knew there were lots of barriers up to getting help, which is obviously what led Dan to where he was. So I decided that rather than, you know, give money to perhaps an organisation where I felt that people like Dan wouldn't be supported, I'd set up my an organisation myself. Didn't ever imagine it would get the length it did, if I'm completely honest. I only ever thought perhaps I'd do a little bit and then that would be it. And then here we are kind of 4.5 years on, and the foundation has grown to a kind of serious extent. And for me, from the very beginning, it's always been about making sure that people like Dan in the farming community and the people that I live and I work around are supported, and they've got somewhere that they can go to and that is specifically for them. I think they, you know, quite often farmers are expected to fit in everyone else's boxes, and there's nothing specifically for them in way of support, but everything we do is specifically tailored for farmers and people in the farming community.
And so if people are looking for the support that you're offering, how do they access it?
So we run in a couple of different ways. We use social media quite heavily, and so we quite often get people get in touch through social media. But the crux of what we do is a 24-hour call line. So we have a call line, but also it's a text service as well. And that means that people can get in touch. And if they want just somebody to talk to, basically, if they want us to have a bit of a moan or a whine or just get something off their chest, then they can ring us up and they can talk to us. And I think the biggest part about this for me was having the ability for somebody to ring up and speak to somebody who understood. And so when you're asking, and when someone's ringing up and complaining that they've about TB or whatever it might be, the person on the other end of the phone, they know about that. They understand the struggles of TB, and that for me was really important. And so through this telephone line and text service, you can access counselling, because counselling and talking therapies are the single most effective way of dealing with poor mental health. So for me, it was about being able to provide not only a listening service, but also a means to support as well. And so that's what we're able to do with the service that we provide. But we also provide support by way of mental health awareness training as well. And the idea of that is basically putting the onus on people within the community to look after each other. So we provide training to anybody and everybody who works in the agricultural sector, and enables them to be able to spot the signs of somebody with poor mental health, but more importantly, know how to help them and how to get them to the right support.
People will say that taking that first step is, you know, is really difficult, and I fully understand that. So we've talked about people being able to be anonymous initially when they make contact. Is there anything that you can say that would reassure people who think, you know, maybe your foundation would be useful to talk to?
I think it's just knowing that you're ringing up somebody that knows exactly what you're talking about. You know, not only do they understand mental health in and out, but they also understand farming and the kind of struggles that that entails. Because more often than not, farmers, they tend to think, well, no, you know, nobody understands. And if you went to your GP and we're complaining because the weather was getting you down, it was like, well, why? You know, but when you're farming, the weather is massive and it can be a huge implication on your mental health. And so, you know, it's just understanding that the help is out there and it is available. And but also, you know, you're not alone. And I know that there is this kind of phrase, you're not alone, is bandied around a lot, but you're really not. And, you know, if I can tell you the amount of callers and people that we have who ring us up anonymously just to talk about what they're going through, you know, it's amazing that people are ringing up and they feel like they've got somebody to talk to. But there really is so many other people who are going through this situation as well. And just reach out and talk to somebody about it is hugely important.
That was Emma Pixon-Jones, who's the founder of the DPJ Foundation. And you can look at the foundation on the internet, the dpjfoundation.co.uk. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Emma, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's go back to Vicky Beers. She's from the Farming Community Network, the FCN charity, which provides support to farmers and their families to help them deal with these health concerns that we've been talking about in this podcast. Vicky, just tell us a little bit about the support for the people in the industry and who the sort of people are that take advantage of the support that you offer.
Thanks, John. And thanks, Lee, for telling us your story as well. It was really interesting to hear what you had to say about finding the right tools to have in your toolbox and recognizing the signs, because it's a big part of the work that charities like ours are actually doing to raise awareness. There's so much support in the farming community. And I think in some ways we're really lucky. We are a really small community and there's very few in the farming community who wouldn't rally around to support somebody if they needed it. I think our biggest problem that we're facing is the fact that we're not putting our hand up and asking for help. There's a lot of organizations out there. I would say my biggest takeaway message always is that you ask for help. And also if you see that somebody else is struggling or you know they're going through a hard time, then there's a campaign called the Ask Twice campaign. And we all spend our time walking around asking each other if we're okay, you're all right, how are you? But actually it's a greeting and we're not necessarily wanting to know how those people are. I think most of us will recognize, not always, but often recognize when somebody is dealing with challenging issues or they're not quite themselves. And it's always good to give them that opportunity to ask for help and reach out. Within the industry, there's so many charities there to support. A lot of the work that we do, along with the Farm Safety Partnership, the Farm Safety Foundation, Yellow Wellies, DPJ, Emma's charity in Wales, and YANA, we do a lot of mental health awareness training to other organisations, to farmers, to farmer-facing staff members, young farmers. And it's really designed to raise awareness of the issues, recognise when there might be a problem, equipping them with those tools for their box so that they can look after themselves and their loved ones, and really just starting to break down that stigma and get people to reach out for support or to help somebody else find the support they need. And I would say that there is a lot of support there. We work, FCN are part of the Farming Help umbrella of organisations. So we are a group of national farming support charities, which includes ourselves, RABI, RSABI in Scotland, the Addington Fund, and Forage Aid. And we all work together in support. We have a common helpline, and all of that support is confidential. And it can be anything from family concerns, financial concerns, or mental health. And although we have a large number of people calling us with mental health concerns, and often financial concerns, there's very rarely just one issue that's affecting that person. Sometimes when you hear people talking about mental health, you hear it described as how much they're carrying in their bucket. And I think farmers have a lot to carry in their bucket. And those contents can grow quite significantly without you realizing it. And we recognise as an industry and as an organisation that we are going into a period of quite extreme change, possibly. And that's just going to add to that burden. So we try and equip people to understand when they're carrying too much in their bucket and how they can start changing that. There's also lots of other organisations working at a local level. We work closely with organisations like Lincolnshire Rural Support. And I would recommend to anybody who has concerns to go onto the Farmwell website, and they'll find a really comprehensive list of support for all types of things, whether it's farm support, physical health support, support with domestic violence. It's just a really easy to navigate site. And I would just say, reach out and help, even if that's just picking up a phone to a neighbour or a friend or talking to a family member.
Now, Vicky, one of the barriers may be preventing people from reaching out, because farming is one of those sort of, you know, roughy-toughy sort of industries. And, you know, we've already heard Lee talking about he's a rugby player and I guess, grown men don't cry. And, you know, here we are in a situation where we're asking those people to open up their vulnerabilities and talk to somebody else. And I fully imagine that there will be plenty of people who just say, I'm not prepared to do that. I can't do that. So is there a place that they can go to where there's, you know, there's some safety, there's confidentiality, so that they don't have to expose themselves straight away, but they can perhaps find out where they can benefit from information that you're talking about?
Absolutely. So as I said, you can go completely confidentially to the Farmwell website and explore what your opportunities are. There's also some really good information on there about managing mental health, understanding the signs of stress. You could phone the FCN helpline, which is 03 000 111 999. You don't have to tell us who you are if you don't want to. All of our volunteers are people who understand farming. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to talk about your conversation or share it with anybody else. If you choose to have some ongoing support from one of our volunteers, then that volunteer will be somebody from your local area, or you could choose to go further abroad like Lee did to find somebody you're not necessarily going to bump into. But it's totally confidential. I have no idea what the callers to our helpline talk about, because that's not something I'm privy to. It's between the person who you're dealing with and the person who's supporting your family and yourself. There's lots of helplines out there, and all of them provide really professional and really confidential support. There's also the Farming Forum, which is a really good space if you want to be able to communicate and just start exploring those conversations. And the Farming Forum have just recently, this week in fact, launched a platform for women called Home on the Farm. And the whole idea of that platform really is to give people a safe space to be able to share their worries, share their concerns with people who may have also had the same problems or concerns and worries in a safe environment, and then perhaps start exploring how they can access further support.
Okay, Vicky, thank you. So what we've heard in this podcast is that it's World Mental Health Day on the 10th of October. AHDB has recorded some mental health webinars. Those were recorded earlier in this year, and you can access those webinars by going on farmwell.org.uk. Do visit their website. We will put links in the show notes for this podcast. We've heard that help is available. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Thank you to my guests, Emma, Vicky, and fellow podcaster Lee Thompson. Also, my thanks to podcast producers Sarah Meesom and Aisha Shabnam. AHDB welcomes your comments, and so if you've got any observations about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, please make contact via the AHDB website. That's ahdb.org.uk. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.